Thank you very much, Dove. It's wonderful to be back from vacation. I did have a marvelous vacation. I went to Disney World with my daughter and my boyfriend. And one thing that was really nice about the Disney World vacation for me is that Disney World is a place I have always hated. One of the things in the past that annoyed me about my boyfriend was it seemed like every vacation he wanted to go to Disney World, and my words were always, why don't we go somewhere real, you know? And you know, I would complain about how all we do is go there and stand in line. And I remember going to Disney World, I would always get quite grumpy. My boyfriend likes to get up bright and early and be the first one in line at Disney World before it even opens, and I did not want to get up bright and early on my vacation. And then once they open it, he takes off running, and I did not want to run through Disney World. And then all day long, he walks really fast and weaves in and out of people, and I did not want to do that. And I did not want to stand in 50-minute lines. And whenever I was hungry, we were always stuck in a line. And I think you can just hear how Disney World was for me in the past. So what was really wonderful, it's just so wonderful I can't even express it, was going to Disney World this time. Now that I have spent 3 years, as a matter of fact, April is my 3-year anniversary from when I started the course. So since I've spent 3 years watching my mind, letting go of ego thoughts, allowing my mind to be healed, learning to accept the current moment, accept joy, follow guidance, it was such a different experience. I loved Disney World. I mean, I loved it. It was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And one thing that was so great about it was that nothing in form had changed. We still got up at the crack of dawn. We still were in line before it opened. We still took off running. We still weaved through people. We still waited in lines. My daughter still got grumpy. I didn't. I noticed she took my role of getting hungry and grumpy in line because I was not fulfilling that role anymore. But the role was still fulfilled. You know, other families in line. I got to turn my banners off. One second. other families around in line around us getting grumpy. I mean, you know, that we had wet and cold days. We had hot and tired days. And I loved every minute of it. I loved every minute of it. There was such a difference in my mind and such a difference at how I looked at and perceived everything. It was really quite a reward. And what I also noticed, even though I was not actively teaching like I tend to do here, what I really noticed was the Holy Spirit used me just as much. I could literally feel the Holy Spirit moving through me at Disney World, just like I feel the Holy Spirit moving through me when I am teaching. But this time I would feel that same energy, but it would just be a smile and eye contact with someone or a sentence. One time I did shake a hand and one time I did give a hug. but for the most part, it was just a smile or just a sentence to someone. But I felt that same presence, and I knew that the same work was continuing in Disney World. You know, I was still watching my mind, and I was still being used to extend love. And I just loved it. It was so funny. Even the rides that I used to, you know, get kind of nervous before I would ride them, like I would get nervous that I might get motion sick or something like that, I noticed I stood in line completely peacefully. There was no nervousness whatsoever, and there was also no motion sickness. I enjoyed the rides. I laughed on the rides. I rode Mission Space 4 times, which is a ride I would have totally avoided before. It was just wonderful. It was really a wonderful gift. I originally went to Disney World as a gift for Jasmine and Ron because they love it so much, but it turned out to be a gift for me because I was able to really see the progress that has occurred in my mind in the last 3 years and celebrate that and rejoice over that. And of course, you know, once again, commit even more to keep moving in the same direction. And One thing I noticed about Disney World is it's a wonderful place to accept the atonement because it is kind of like the land of overstimulation. There is so much going on there that, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity to watch your mind for judgments and to let them go. It's just, it's a perfect place. So I had a great time, and I think probably most of you heard about the guidance that we received coming home, but just in case you didn't, I'll tell that story briefly. We went to SeaWorld on Saturday, and then we dropped my boyfriend off at the airport because he lives in Colorado, so we dropped him off about 4. And then Jasmine and I started home, but because it was so late, of course, we only made it to Savannah, Georgia, and we got a motel and spent the night there. Well, if anybody was aware of the weather this weekend, you may know that there were severe storms all along the East Coast, from Florida to Boston, severe storms. Well, what happened is we went to bed on Saturday night in Savannah, and I woke up early, like 7:30 on Sunday morning, and I felt like I wanted to just take a quick shower and, you know, hit the road right away, maybe be on the road by 8:15 or so. And I went into the bathroom, and there were no towels or washcloths at all. So I called the front desk and requested towels and washcloths, and they said they would send them right up. But about 15 or 20 minutes passed, and they didn't come, and I thought, well, maybe they got busy and forgot, so I will call them back. And I called them back again, and this time they said that they didn't have any towels or washcloths at the front desk, and they had to wait for housekeeping to arrive, but it should only be a few minutes. And at that time, it was around 5 till 8, so I made an assumption that housekeeping must come in at 8, and I just said, okay. Well, time just kept on passing, and there were no towels. And what I started noticing in my mind was I started noticing that there were judgment thoughts, some pretty strong judgment thoughts. I had to really focus in order to let the thoughts go. There were very strong judgment thoughts. I saw thoughts like, you know, I'm paying good money for this motel. I should get full service. If I don't have towels, which is a basic service, I should get some kind of a refund. You know, they are ruining my travel plans. I certainly saw thoughts wanting to blame the front desk for not caring about me. And what I really needed to do was remember what I want, what I really want, which isn't hit the road, it's accept the atonement. And so I had to really remember that and accept that the current moment was perfect and accept that everything was just as it was supposed to be, even if I didn't see that. And I decided to let all of those thoughts go and just make the best use of time. So I grabbed A Course in Miracles and crawled back into bed and just decided to read A Course in Miracles until the towels arrived. And sometime after that, I felt to turn on the weather channel. I remembered hearing the day before that there was supposed to be severe weather all over the East Coast, and we were driving right up I-95, so I thought, well, I should check the weather. So I turned the weather on, and at the time that I turned the weather on, it was probably 8:30 by now, you know, maybe, yeah, 8:30 to 8:45 time frame. And when I turned the TV on, they were issuing tornado warnings, which means that at least a funnel cloud had been sighted. In this case, there were two. They were issuing tornado warnings about an hour north of where I was on I-95. And what I realized was if we had hit the road when I wanted to, we would have been right there in that spot where that severe weather was occurring as it was occurring. And I realized, they said that the storm was moving northeast 60 miles an hour, and I realized that now by the time we leave, the storm would be completely gone. And I realized then that not having towels delayed us enough that we were missing driving through severe weather. And at that time, I just became overwhelmed with gratitude, just really grateful because I was able to see now the perfection of the moment. And it was just a couple minutes after that that they knocked on the door and brought me my towels. And another interesting thing, as there was severe weather, at least I'm told by the news, from Florida to Boston. And Jasmine and I were driving right up the East Coast, and yet You know, you could see clouds like on one side of us, and you could see clouds like on another side of us. But for 95% of our trip, there was literally a strip of blue sky above us. And we seemed to just move with the strip of blue sky, literally. And it was completely over us as we were traveling home. I think we had a little bit of overcast. We experienced a few sprinkles, but absolutely nothing that you could call severe weather. And we made it all the way home that way. So, you know, I just love the life of trust, because this is the kind of experiences that the life of trust brings us. And, you know, of course, I'm still fairly new, so I'm really starting to experience these kinds of experiences at a regular interval for the first time. I mean, you know, the last few months have just been incredible, all of these experiences. And I don't know, I'm just overjoyed. And of course, these types of experience increase my commitment, because, you know, somewhere in the Course it says that if you trust the Holy Spirit, what you will discover is that your trust was not unfounded. And that is exactly what I am discovering. In fact, I believe it's in the teacher's manual. And that is exactly what I am discovering through my experiences, such as, you know, being delayed and missing severe weather, the trip to China, the publisher showing up and very quickly accepting the book without any effort on our part. You know, all of this is showing me that it is absolutely true. It is true. All I have to do is trust the Holy Spirit and follow my prompts, and I will never have to worry about a thing again, because, you know, the trust is not unfounded at all. So that's kind of my vacation story. I'm going to let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything they would like to share or ask. All right, then, let's get to work. this is Holy Spirit Guides, which means we are reading from www.reginadonacres.com. Let me give you that link. There you go, www.reginadonacres.com. And we're actually beginning today at January 1st, 2005. So if you want to read along with me, when you get to reginadonacres.com, you'll want to look at the archives on the right-hand side, and you'll want to find January 2005 and click on that. And then in order to get to January 1st, just once you're in January, just scroll all the way to the bottom of the page. January 1st is at the very bottom of the page. And while I was listening to Ken Wapnick, I echoed a statement that Ken made, and it's still on the board, so you can see it if you were in the room at the time of the echo. It says, "Thinking of God is what is best for me." That's what Ken Wapnick said a few moments ago when he was teaching. "Thinking of God is what is best for me." And I wrote that down because I was already looking at January 1st, 2005, and I realized that's really the same thought that I received from the Holy Spirit on January 1st, 2005. And I think it's a very interesting thought, because this thought is the very first thought the Holy Spirit had given me for the year. So I kind of perceived it as like a, you know, kind of like a New Year's resolution type of thought, since the Holy Spirit gave it to me right there on January 1st. Let me go ahead and read this thought. It's very brief. Holy thoughts are in my mind now. I need only accept them as truth. That's all there is to do. It's a very simple little saying for January 1st. Holy thoughts are in my mind now. I need only accept them as truth. That's all there is to do. So really what Holy Spirit was pointing out to me is that I didn't just have ego thoughts in my mind, I also had holy thoughts in my mind as well. But what was, of course, occurring with me at the time was I put my faith in the ego thoughts. I believed the ego thoughts, you know, and all the typical worldly thoughts that people have. And that's what I believed in. I believed in the world. And so really what the Holy Spirit was saying with this thought was that I needed to shift that. Instead of accepting the ego thoughts as true, I needed to shift that and accept the holy thoughts as true. And once I accept the holy thoughts as true, then the ego thoughts are automatically false by default, because they can't both be true. It can't be that the ego thoughts are true and that the Holy Spirit thoughts are true, because they're completely opposite one another. So you really can't believe both of them. You can say you believe one while you're really believing the other. You can do that. But you can only really believe one of those sets of thoughts. You either believe what the ego is teaching you, or you believe what the Holy Spirit is teaching you. It's an either or. So what the Holy Spirit is doing with me with this thought is saying, I want you to shift where your belief is this year. You know, right now you really are believing the ego thoughts in your mind. I want you to shift and accept these holy thoughts, which are in your mind, but I want you to accept them as truth. And once you accept them as truth, you will no longer be able to accept the ego thoughts as true, and you'll just let them go as meaningless. So it's a very short thought, but it's a very powerful thought. Holy thoughts are in my mind now. I need only accept them as truth. That's all there is to do. So I'm going to let go of the mic and see if anybody has any comments. All right, then, let's scroll up to Monday, January 3rd. Monday, January 3rd. Now, again, we really want to remember where my mind was at the time. And I was not believing the Holy Spirit yet. I was listening to the Holy Spirit. I was not believing the Holy Spirit, okay? Listening, but my belief was definitely still with the ego. And, you know, the Holy Spirit was telling me that I should change my perception of the world. And I'll tell you what I thought. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. I thought, this is nothing but stupid psychology. This isn't some kind of spiritual truth. This is just psychology. If I start seeing everything differently, certainly I'm going to feel better. I didn't doubt that. I'm going to feel better. But that doesn't mean I'm not still just going to die at the end of this lifetime. I'll feel better, but then I'm going to die. You know, I mean, that's it. So I saw the logic behind the psychology of changing my perception. But I did not believe it was a spiritual truth that had any real and lasting value. Okay, so this is where my mind was at. A very different place than where my mind is now. So I just asked the Holy Spirit, why should I change my perception of the world? You know, tell me why. And this was the answer. There is no truth in the world. There is only perception. You can forgive anything that you think, experience, know, or see, because it isn't truth. Why change your perception of the world? Because as you allow your perception to change, the world you experience and see will change. That will further convince you that there is no truth in the world, and you will be more willing to accept the truth as it is. Now, I did not understand what the Holy Spirit was saying then like I do now. I've learned a lot since then. But I did understand that this was a very powerful thought. I at least intuitively knew that. And in fact, this particular thought I printed and cut out, and I hung it on the bulletin board at work behind my desk so I could spin around in my chair several times a day and read this and meditate on this. So, you know, through doing that, I really was giving my willingness to see differently. I wasn't really, even though I kind of had that prove it to me attitude when I asked the question, by the time I received the answer, it wasn't a prove it to me attitude anymore. It was more of a I want to learn this attitude. It's I want to see. I want to know the truth is true. I don't believe it now, but I want to. And I knew that somehow this little two-paragraph answer would help me with that. And you know, it's really funny because I didn't realize we were going to go over this today, but I just talked about my vacation at Disney World. You know, I talked about just very briefly, I mentioned, you know, the trip to China that's coming up, which was a bit of a miracle, the getting the publisher, which was a bit of a miracle, the, you know, towels not coming, which turned out to be a bit of a miracle. What I am seeing through my own experience, not through study in some book, but what I am seeing through my own experience is that as I take the first step and allow my perception to change. And by that I mean when I see the thoughts in my mind that I have been taught by the Holy Spirit are ego thoughts, and let those thoughts go, and I choose instead trust, I choose instead willingness, I choose instead true desire, I choose instead gratitude, and as I focus on those four thoughts, especially the trust, that seems to be the strongest one for me. As I focus on those thoughts, exactly what this message said is true. My experience is changing. Not only the psychology effect, I would say Disney World was the psychology effect, right? Nothing at Disney World changed. There were still the lines, still the crowd, still the grumpiness, still the racing. But I had the psychology effect of I enjoyed it all this time. But in addition to the psychology effect, I'm having experiences that go far beyond psychology. I had a strip of blue sky all the way home when an entire coast was experiencing extreme weather. I had found a publisher without even trying to find a publisher and had a contract within a week. You know, I could just continue to list the experiences that are starting to come to me now. So what I'm learning through this, literally, is that the world is not real. Because if the world was real, I would only have the psychology effect. I would only have the Disney World experience. Everything would be the same. I would just be accepting and happy. But what I'm finding is it's over and beyond the psychology effect. I'm finding that life itself, the universe itself, is actually changing to meet my new vibrational level, to meet my level of trust instead of my level of fear. So it isn't just the psychology effect. The psychology effect is there, and it is grand. But I'm also learning the world is not real. And that's what I need to learn if I'm going to let go of the world and accept the truth as it is. So, you know, I received this message, 2005, over 2.25 years ago. And this is really the lesson that I'm learning this year, in 2007 especially. Since I made that commitment in, December, I think, I made that commitment to the Holy Spirit. I said, I promise to live as if the world is not real. And I know that I will then teach what I will learn, and that, of course, is that the world is not real. Since making that commitment to the Holy Spirit, which really is a commitment to stop efforting, to stop trying to figure things out myself, and just trust, since I've made that commitment, the experiences have started coming, that the trust is well-founded, just like the Course promises and just like this promises. So I am learning that the world is not real, and I celebrate that, and I'm going to keep right on learning it, and I'm going to demonstrate it so that others can learn it, because this is what we need to learn, not just say, but learn, really know it, because that's how we figure out who we are. So let me just read this one more time from January 3rd. Actually, let me read this from Happy Learner Dave. When we get our special agenda interest out of the way and choose our only purpose for being here, to serve Holy Spirit, all obstacles melt before us and the road is made straight and smooth. And he says that's from A Course in Miracles, pages 433 and 434. And that's what I'm learning. I'm learning that's true. And you know, when I wrote this 2 years ago, I didn't believe that. I wanted to believe it. I had the willingness to believe it, but I didn't. And now I'm learning it through my own experience. But what's interesting is we have to take the first step. We have to trust first, and then the experience comes. We can't wait for the experience before we give our trust. And that's why it's so hard for people. That's why it was hard for me. That's why it, you know, really took me 2 years, you know, to get to the point where I was finally doing what this message asked. Because we have to trust before we have the experience. But then those experiences come pretty quickly, and we find our trust was well founded. Robert, please take the mic.
Thank you, Regina. It's interesting. The other day, I had a Brad Pitt dream, and I say that because I, after I woke up from the dream in sleep, I said, "Oh my God, I had a Brad Pitt dream," and I thought of your Brad Pitt dream, which has nothing to do with Brad Pitt, but he and I were working on the farm here and doing tasks together, and I was feeling like I had to be something special. With the image of Brad Pitt as we were working. And I was explaining to him what we were doing and why it worked and what the process was and planting seed and a lot of these things, but I felt disconnected from Brad. I mean, we were getting along fine. Everything was good. But I was playing a game and I knew it. And then as the dream progressed, Brad and I were walking around the house, and he was in front of me, and he was smoking a Camel cigarette, and he had jeans and boots and a sleeveless T-shirt on, and we stopped in the shadow of the house, and he looked at me, and he says, "You know, Robert, you are really an unbelievable guy, but what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of?" And I looked at him, and I just looked at him, and I said, "I don't know." And he said to me, he said, "Robert," he says, "you're just afraid of yourself." He says, "You see an image of me, and you see an image of yourself, and these images just aren't true. Let the images go, and trust that you already know who you are without the image." And I just took that, and then everything disappeared in that moment to a level of trust, and really it was a level of new commitment that I saw that's what I need to do first, is to make that commitment stronger, not in a forceful way or in a determined way, but in a releasing and allowing way to sink into the commitment that I make, and not do it just because it's convenient or because I want something, but just because it's the only thing to do. It's the only thing left to me. So I just wanted to share the Brad Pitt dream that I had, and I know it's all in the one mind, and I had to really chuckle with it too, and look forward to sharing it with you. So thank you.
That's funny. I just listened to my Brad Pitt dream again this morning. I hadn't listened to that in a while, and I was getting CDs ready to mail, and I came across that one, so I stuck it in and listened to it again. You know, I wonder, you know, it's wonderful how the Holy Spirit uses Brad Pitt, you know, to teach us how to awaken. I wonder if Brad Pitt ever has Brad Pitt dreams. let me read this again from January 3rd, because again, it's such a powerful message. The question was, why should I change my perception of the world? Why should I do this? Answer: there is no truth in the world. There is only perception. You can forgive anything that you think, experience, no, or see, because it isn't truth. Why change your perception of the world? Because as you allow your perception to change, the world you experience and see will change. That will further convince you that there is no truth in the world, and you will be more willing to accept truth as it is. And as I mentioned, that is definitely a good description of right where I am right now. I'm now finally having those experiences, and it's just like the Holy Spirit promises. Once you get on this roll, then you are more willing. You are more willing. Let's see. Dave has written, once you accept His plan as the one function that you would fulfill, there is nothing else the Holy Spirit will not arrange for you without your effort. He will go before you, making straight your path and leaving in your way no stones to trip on and no obstacles to bar your way. Nothing you need will be denied you. And he says that's from text chapter 20, section 4, paragraphs 8 and 9. And Super Jesus apparently has a different course book. Yeah, and Dancer Doll is saying, Ken Wapnick would say it all happens in your mind because there is no world. And I agree with that statement as well. The experience is the experience of being in the world, but it is all within the one mind. So one is talking about the level of experience, and the other is talking about the level of truth. And yeah, I absolutely agree with Ken Wapnick's statement. 100%. So let's move on to the next date, which again we're going to be scrolling up in 2005 on reginadonacres.com. We're in January 2005. Okay, yes, I know where we're at now. I like to remember my state of mind when I asked about these questions. The Dancer Doll is saying, what about the people caught in the storm? And, you know, are they less beloved of God? You know, I understand that question because I used to think that way. I used to think that God, you know, if one person was saved in a wreck and one person wasn't saved in a wreck, you know, the question in my mind, well, did God love that one more than the other one? But in asking those questions, what's literally happening is that we are still seeing God as something that is separate from us. We are still seeing God as something that is separate from us, that can give or take from us, approve or disapprove. And when we are not realizing, when we are looking at it that way, what we're not realizing is that God is simply mind, and that mind is our mind. So the real difference might be, and of course I don't know any of the individuals caught in the storm, so I'm not really judging any individuals, but the real difference might be, you know, for people who had bad experiences that day and people who didn't, it's what's going on in our own minds and what we are attracting to ourselves through our own vibrational level. As I mentioned, we have to take the first step. We have to be doing the trusting first. And as I said, this is something I've been doing in a much stronger way since about December of 2006, and I'm just now beginning to experience what you might call the fruits of that labor. We got to realize everything we experience comes from us. There is no God outside of us that is placing us in a storm or not placing us in a storm, or having our experience in the storm be an okay, peaceful one, or having our experience in the storm not be a peaceful one. There's no one outside of us, nothing outside of us that's making that. It's all us. So my that was the long answer. So my short answer would be, people who seem to have a bad storm experience on Sunday probably had completely different types of thoughts within their mind and are at a completely different vibrational level. And what's really wonderful is that we are all the same Son of God. So any one of us can learn this secret, which really isn't a secret, it's just we aren't aware of it. Any one of us can learn this truth, and any one of us can make these decisions to start letting go of the ego thoughts and start choosing the holy thoughts. And again, The holy thoughts are very simple thoughts. We're not talking about some deep thought that you have to learn. You know, what I've learned is that the holy thoughts are simple. The holy thoughts are trust, willingness, true desire. I want to be loved now. Gratitude. I mean, those are the holy thoughts. They're very simple thoughts. And if we just hold those thoughts in our mind and let the ego thoughts go, that's when the different experience begins to happen. And again, you know, if we just go right back to what the Holy Spirit said to me on January 1st of 2005, holy thoughts are in my mind now. I need only accept them as truth. That's all there is to do. I mean, it's spelled out for us, but it takes time, it seems like, to learn that, because we really believe the world and we really believe the ego. And we have to let go of that belief, and we have to start to trust the Holy Spirit. In fact, we have to start to trust the Holy Spirit even before we believe the Holy Spirit. It's through the trust and through the experience that then it really becomes witness to, and it becomes more of a belief level. The trust has to come first. We have to take that step. And that, again, is why it's so hard for so many people. They want to have the experience first, but the experience comes from the mind. So if the mind is still in worry and fear, that's the type of experience. You can't start having an experience of trust and love until you allow your mind to go there first. It's not a gift from something outside of us. It is the result of what is in our mind. The mind must change first, and that's because of what we are. That's because of what we are. And the good news is we can all change our mind when we're ready to accept that fact. Let's see, David has written, "The peace of God is everything I want. The peace of God is my one goal, the aim of all my living here, the end I seek, my purpose and my function and my life, while I abide where I am not at home." And let's see, Carl has written, "There isn't anything going on in the world. The world is an illusion. Everything that is going on only in mind, because there isn't anything else." Absolutely. And yeah, David is saying, regardless of the external weather, the peace of God is always ours if we choose to see it. And that is a point that I want to make. I mean, I did have an experience on Sunday where somehow I was able to drive up the coast within a slit of blue sky. That did happen. But I also was in a storm Sunday night after I was at home, and I was completely peaceful. In fact, I was talking to Phil on the phone, and I saw a cloud that literally could have been a funnel cloud. I said, "Oh, Phil, I see a cloud outside I need to go look at. Come with me." And I just went right outside, still talking to Phil, looked at the cloud, did not see any funnels, and went back in the house. So I still went and looked at the cloud, you know, but there was no fear in me. I don't know. It was a peaceful experience. And if there had been a funnel cloud, I would have gone and got Jasmine and we would have taken cover. I probably would have hung up the phone. But, you know, I could have been in severe weather and still had a peaceful experience. So, you know, both things can happen. Both things can happen. We can have the slit of blue sky that seems to follow us home, or we can be in the storm and have the peaceful experience in the storm. But if we're having a bad experience, that's coming from us. And in fact, I know you all know that you could have been in the car behind me with that blue strip of sky, and if your thoughts were in a different place, you still could have been having a bad experience. So, you know, it wasn't really the blue strip of sky. That was a lot of fun, and I like sharing that story. But the experience comes from us. The experience comes from our mind. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants us to learn. And then because of what we are, our experience within the world changes both the psychology effect and actual experiential changes. Both occur. Both. Which is how we learn that the world is not real. So now I am at Thursday, January 13th. I was going to start talking to you about what was going on with me at this time. Thursday, January 13th. Okay. For those of you who don't know me, I was at this time, I was working, I was an executive, I was a director of a training department for a nationwide company. I had a very good job. You know, lived in a very nice town. My daughter went to a very nice school. I really think that within the world, I was more successful than I probably would have expected myself to be. Things were going quite well. But what started to happen in December is I started to receive guidance where the Holy Spirit was literally asking me to leave all of that and to become the caretaker of the Foundation for the Awakening Mind, which meant leaving, you know, my job and my life and going to a volunteer position. And hold on, I got to kiss somebody. Jasmine just walked in from school. Mwah. I love you, sweet pea. Okay, I need 20 more minutes to finish teaching. Oh, don't fall. This is what happened last week. You fell right off my lap. Oh, but she's laughing this time. Okay. And so what started happening is the Holy Spirit started asking me to leave my job and to go take care of the Foundation for the Awakening Mind. A lot of fear started coming up. Because remember, at this time, I still believed in the world. And the fear actually seemed to, in my mind, the thoughts that got me the most were centered around Jasmine, because it was both guilt and fear, because I felt like I was making this decision, this spiritual decision, to walk towards enlightenment, but Jasmine wasn't. And now I was being asked to like quit my job and move, and you know, I was like, what about Jasmine? You know, I mean, I'm okay if I don't have any money. I'm okay to be poor. I can even deal with being homeless. But what about Jasmine? And I just kept having this thought in my mind that I was responsible for her, and I was letting her down by leaving my job and all of that. And there was a lot of fear. I cannot tell you how much fear. If you've experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. But if you haven't experienced it yet, you really don't know. It was fear that was so intense. There were literally moments that I thought I might die from the fear, okay? So this is what's going on around January 13th, is I'm having all of this fear. It's been going on since about mid-December. And I think we'll find a few questions about fear, because I'm literally walking around shaking and woken. You know, the fear wakes me up in the middle of the night and I can't go back to sleep, and I just can't seem to get away from this intense fear. So here I go. I say, I like it when I am in my right mind. Those few moments in the morning when I'm meditating with you, that's kind of fun. But I seem to be in fear more. What is the best way for me to look at my fear? What is the best way to look at my fear? That was my question, because that seemed to be my almost full-time experience. And the Holy Spirit answered, accept it as not real. Literally, accept the fear as not real. Do not try to deny it or ignore it, because that will repress it. But don't believe it either. Accept that you are fearful. Listen to that. Accept that you are fearful. And realize that fear cannot hurt you, although you believe it can. Because you believe it can hurt you, you cannot save yourself from fear. You must be willing to let me do that by acknowledging that you are afraid and that you do not want to hold on to or believe in the fear anymore. I will correct it for you. That is why it is called a miracle. Correction comes from a power that you are not aware you have. It is inside of you, but outside of who you believe you are. And this is really the Holy Spirit telling me, because the Holy Spirit is saying, give it to me, I will correct it for you. But then the Holy Spirit doesn't want me to start getting into this thought process that the Holy Spirit is really something separate from me. So the Holy Spirit, you know, in the very next sentence, right after saying, I will correct it from you, goes right on to say, correction comes from a power that you are not aware you have. It is inside of you, but outside of who you believe you are. So Holy Spirit is letting me know that this, I will correct it for you, is really just a symbol. And the reason we need that symbol is because we're so confused about who we are. And, you know, we think we are the ego, or we think we are the thinking mind. That's our identity. And if the Holy Spirit says, you know, you need to correct your fear, when I'm confused about who I am, I'm trying to correct my fear using my ego. And that's not going to happen. So the Holy Spirit gives us the symbol of, I will correct it for you. That allows the ego to rest. But the correction actually comes from us because the Holy Spirit comes from us. Remember, there's nothing outside of our mind. It's not something separate from me that is doing this, but it's not the thinking mind that I'm identified with. So the symbol of give it to the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit correct it for you, that's just a symbol so that the thinking mind or the ego isn't trying to do it. It's really to move us away from that effort into a rest. Then the Holy Spirit continues, so accept that you are afraid and accept that I am with you and the fear cannot hurt you. Trust, notice he's teaching trust right here, trust that I am with you, that I am you, and that we are more powerful than the fear. If you do not give fear power, it has none. So look at it, say hello to it, and give it to me. You may continue to feel fear after you have given it to me. That does not mean that I have not taken it from you. Give me the fear and the control. That is what I mean by trust. So again, there's an awful lot in this second paragraph. You know, really the Holy Spirit does not want me resisting my fear. You know, if I'm resisting my fear, fearing my fear, I'm feeding my fear. I'm going to continue to experience fear. So the Holy Spirit wants me to just accept that I'm fearful right now. Accept, okay, I'm afraid, I'm shaking. This is my current experience. I accept this experience, and at the same time, trust. This cannot hurt me. It's just an experience. And trust that it cannot last because the Holy Spirit and I, which are actually one, are much more powerful from the fear. And in fact, what the Holy Spirit is really doing is shifting my mind from fear into its antidote, which is trust. Because what's really going on when I'm having this fear and I'm saying, what's the best way to look at this fear? I'm afraid of my fear. Remember, I told you there were times I even thought the fear would kill me. I was literally afraid of my fear. The Holy Spirit is shifting me from that fear, which is feeding itself, into trust. Just accept the fear. Trust that it cannot hurt you. Trust that we are more powerful. And once you understand the mind, you realize that if I make this shift that the Holy Spirit is asking me to make, the fear must die. When I shift my mind from fearful thoughts to thoughts of trust, the fear must die. It may seem to take a bit of time, which is why the Holy Spirit says you may still feel the fear, but trust that I have it. So the Holy Spirit is saying that, again, it's a symbol. Trust that you have given it to me, that I have taken it, because the Holy Spirit wants the mind to stay in trust, no matter what. The Holy Spirit wants the mind to stay in trust because it is the trust that will cause the fear experience to fade away. It is fear that will continue the fear experience. So literally the Holy Spirit is helping me to shift my mind using symbols like give the fear to me. But all I'm really doing is shifting my mind from fearful thoughts to trusting thoughts. And it's the power of the mind that does the undoing, not the ego, but the actual divine mind that I am. So accept that you are afraid. Do not resist it, because resisting it is fearing it. Just accept it. Accept that you are afraid. Accept that I am with you, and the fear cannot hurt you. Trust that I am with you, that I am you, and that we are more powerful than the fear. If you do not give fear power, it has none. So look at it. Say hello to it. And of course, that's just to make sure I don't start denying it in some way. Okay, I'm not really afraid. You know, that doesn't help, denying it. Look at it. Say hello to it. There's the fear. I see the fear. Hello, fear. I accept that you are there. Look at it. Say hello to it and give it to me. Here you are, Holy Spirit. That does not mean... Then he says, you may continue to feel the fear after you have given it to me. That does not mean that I have not taken it from you. That's because he wants the mind to stay in trust even as the experience continues. It must stay in trust because trust is the antidote to fear. And then, just to make sure I'm clear, because I was, you know, again, I didn't get to be as successful in the world as I was without having a good problem solver mind. I was good at solving problems, good at having plans, good at meeting objectives, good at getting things done, right? My thinking mind was a good thinking mind, which means, you know, I really had always had a lot of control in my life, me controlling. So the Holy Spirit wants to make sure I understand, give me the fear and the control. That is what I mean by trust. So the Holy Spirit is telling me, if I say, okay, I'm giving this to you, but then I keep trying to figure out my way out of it, I haven't really given it to the Holy Spirit. I haven't. I have not let go and moved into that place of pure trust, which is the requirement to let go of the fear. I'm still fearing if I'm still trying to figure out. So the Holy Spirit is telling me, what I mean by trust is that you have to let go of this control. You have to let go of this trying to figure out. You have to let go of this trying to think your way out of this, because all of that is just more fear. And if you keep doing that, you're going to keep having this experience. You absolutely must move into trust and do nothing but trust. Accept and trust. And that is the way out of fear. So it's a wonderful formula. It's a wonderful formula, and I can tell you from experience that it works no matter how strong the fear is. It is totally irrelevant how strong the fear is. Moving into this will cause the fear to fade and then completely go away, because it must if this is done well. So any comments about this answer? All right, then, let's scroll up to Sunday, January 16th. I did not become an expert at letting go of fear right away. It was about a year before I got really good at it. So I am trying to do what the Holy Spirit has asked me to do, but I haven't even told David Hoffmeister yet. By Sunday, January 16th, I knew that I had guidance to quit my job and to be the caretaker of the foundation for the Awakening Mind. But at this point, I still had not even told David Hoffmeister. Only I knew this, and I hadn't made any steps in that direction at all yet. And again, things are seeming pretty difficult to me. It's seeming like the Holy Spirit is asking an awful lot from me, and yet I kept reading in the Course that you only need a little willingness. I sure felt like I needed a whole lot more than a little willingness. So I asked the Holy Spirit, why does the Course say that we only need a little willingness? I mean, this is my way of saying, this seems like a hell of a lot of work. I don't get it. This is hard, Holy Spirit. And for me at that time, it was hard. So why does the Course say that we only need a little willingness? And the answer: you already have a little willingness. You only need to recognize it as yours and give your power to it. Your little willingness is a shining sliver of your remembrance of God. As you give your power to your willingness, it will grow. As it grows, your remembrance of God and who you are will grow. Focus on your willingness. Nurture your willingness. Love your willingness. It is you. So, again, the Holy Spirit is teaching me to shift my mind, and in this case, even my identification, away from the ego, the thinking mind, the fearful mind, to that bit of willingness inside of me. And what the Holy Spirit is saying, and I remember writing this, I imagined this willingness as I was writing this as like a little tiny star inside of me, a little tiny star. But what the Holy Spirit was saying is, you are that little tiny star. That's the you, not the ego, not the thinking mind, not this Regina concept that you think you are. You are that tiny little star that is calling you and leading you to follow the spiritual path. That's the real you. And if you focus on that, that tiny star grows stronger and it gets bigger, and this is going to get easier. So you have a little willingness, and what the Course is trying to get you to do is to focus on that little willingness, because through its focus, through focus, it expands, and this will get easier. And that also became a very, very powerful learning for me, because I could always, no matter how afraid I was, I could always find my willingness. I've never, ever, ever been lost from my willingness, no matter what was going on. I could always find it. And as long as I could find that and start focusing on that, I could get through anything. I mean, obviously I did, because that little focusing on that little willingness did get me to quit my job and did get me to move. And I was terrified. I don't want you guys to think I was not terrified a single step, because I was terrified every step of the way. I was terrified until about December 6th, 2005. Terrified. But I just kept making the steps anyway. And the reason was because I could always find that willingness, and I trusted that was the real me, not the fear. And I just kept listening to it and trusting it and let it lead me in spite of the fact that I was terrified. So very, very powerful message, your little willingness. Very powerful message that the Holy Spirit gave me. Let's see. It's 56. Let me see how long the next thing is, what the next thing is, if I want to do. Oh, it's pretty long, so you know what? I think I'm going to save that for next week. I don't think we could get that done in just a few minutes. So next week we will start with Monday, January 17th. Oh, but look. Oh, no, not yet. I am talking to David Hoffmeister now, but I don't think I've told him yet. I'm talking to him about something else. It says, yesterday morning I asked David Hoffmeister to listen to my process for forgiveness, but I still don't think I had told him that I was going to be the caretaker of the Foundation for the Awakening Mind. Seems to me I did that around the 26th or so, but maybe we'll find that out. But it took me a little bit of time to actually take that step, because I really was afraid. But the Holy Spirit's given me all the tools I need to make it, and my gratitude for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you know, it can't be expressed. But I also want to say that I feel grateful for myself. What I feel grateful for is that I listened to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke, and then I listened, and I tried to do whatever the Holy Spirit was asking me to do. So it was both the listening and the practice that really move me through that tough year of 2005, when so much seemed to be changing. A lot of gratitude. You know, I just look back now, and sometimes I'm still rather amazed that I did it. But that's how strong that little willingness is. It can really lead us if we listen to it. So I think that's it for me. I don't know if anybody has anything they want to say. We have a couple minutes left. Yeah, Carl, please take the mic.
Hi, Regina, and everybody else. As always, I really enjoyed listening to you. And I'm just curious, listening to you talk about this marvelous adventure to Disney World, have you received anything from the Holy Spirit regarding particularly holy relationships? I feel quite confused. I cannot understand how you can have a relationship with another body and call it a holy relationship. So anything that you can offer on that, or if you've received any guidance, or maybe if in the future you might...
Yeah, Carl, I can talk about that, and we'll just go ahead. I notice there's nobody after me, so we'll just go ahead and take a little bit of time and talk about that. And the reason I can talk about that is because of my own experience, both with my daughter Jasmine and with my boyfriend, Ron. Both of those relationships were in place when I started studying the Course, and both of the relationships have been transformed from special relationships to holy relationships, even though the form has not changed in either. The boyfriend is still the boyfriend, and the daughter is still the daughter. You know, I still feed her, you know, get her to school on time every day. You know, the form has not changed at all, but there's no doubt in my mind that it's changed from a special relationship to a holy relationship. So let me try and describe the difference, and then, you know, I'll see if you have questions, and we'll just, you know, see where we go with this. But let me start with the boyfriend. When it was a special relationship, now, of course, to me it was normal. I didn't realize there was anything not normal about it. But there were a lot of things that were going on in my mind. For example, I had expectations. There were ways I expected him to treat me, things I expected him to do. And, of course, when he broke those expectations, I felt justified in my anger. There were things I wanted from him. You know, I wanted him to provide certain services, you know, like he's a really handy man. And I remember several times thinking, you know, that at times when I thought about breaking up with him, and what always kept me from breaking up with him is how handy he was, because I was a homeowner and he could always take care of things. So, you know, there was a getting mechanism there as well. It wasn't just love, but, you know, I wanted him because of what I could get from him. I don't really even remember what all was wrong with my mind. Isn't that funny how it kind of disappears? But all that stuff was there. What happened as I went forward with Holy Spirit, whenever I would get very upset with Ron, is Holy Spirit would always show me the error in my mind. Holy Spirit never said, yep, you're right, Ron shouldn't have said that. Holy Spirit always showed me where I was wrong, where I was believing, I was allowing that statement to trigger my unworthiness, or I had the expectation up front, or I was the one that wanted to get, and, you know, always where I was wrong. And so what happened, again, because like I said, I've been a pretty good student. I've always really right away tried to practice what Holy Spirit asked me to practice. So when Holy Spirit would show me that it was my expectation that was leading to my upset, I would then begin to let go of the expectation by giving the willingness to let go of it, and then eventually the expectation was gone. So what happened, you know, over time of doing this is that I literally let go of Ron in the way that I used to hold him, and that's in the mind. I came to a point, it's really hard to put into words, Carl, but I came to a point where the love was pure, because it was no longer clouded by expectations and by getting and all that other stuff. The love was pure, and he was completely free. He didn't have to meet any expectations. He could leave, and I would still love him. I mean, I no longer was clinging to him. I no longer was holding to him. I no longer was trying to get from him. And in many relationships at that point, what would have happened is that he would have left. You know, sometimes that happens when the letting go happens in the mind, the partner does leave, you know. But in my particular case, it seemed that he transformed also. You know, he had lots of habits, like he was very jealous and all of that. And as I let go in my mind, he seemed to relax. And he reacted to my letting go to where now we literally have a relationship. I don't expect anything from him. There's nothing he has to do for me at all. It's all giving. I give to him. He gives to me. Neither one of us seems to expect. And there just seems to be this joy and this love and this no thought for tomorrow. And it just keeps going. It's just so different from what it was. So let me stop there after describing the romantic special relationship and see if you have any questions about how it was transformed into a holy relationship.
Wow. definitely sounds healed to me. I guess, though, I take from what you're saying that before whatever has happened now in form between the bodies, it's required a change in mind first, that preceded it. And really, then the body has just become a reflection or an image of your changed perception in not only your mind, but it looks like his too, even though minds have joined. Put it that way. Is that what you're telling me, and that what I'm understanding right? Thanks.
The funny thing is, you know, one thing the Course does say is that, you know, to deny the body is what's the word that you use, an unhealthy use of denial. I mean, we may not be here, but every one of us knows this is our experience, whether we're here or not. It's our experience. I always say to people, you know, don't you still poop every morning? You know, so we are still going to have relationships. We're still going to eat. We're still going to go to the bathroom. As long as we still seem to be in the world, those things are going to happen. So the real question is, are they happening with the holy part of our mind, or are they happening with the ego part of our mind? It's really all about the mind. It's not at all about the form. The real answer is, what is the relationship in the mind? And that's why I really try to tell people, you know, you really cannot judge your brother, not only because, you know, judgment just isn't healthy for you, but you can't judge your brother because you don't know what's in his mind. You know, I mentioned my boyfriend teaching a few weeks ago, and I did notice a comment somebody made that said, "Wow, Regina, I thought you were beyond that." And I never felt to stop and comment on the comment, so I just kept right on going. But, you know, the person who said that must have some kind of a feeling about what it means to have a boyfriend and made a judgment about that. But, you know, we really can't make judgments because you can't see in the mind of the only person, of the other person. Whenever you look at another person, you're looking at the reflection of your mind. If I think that Carl has a specific thought in his mind, what I'm really looking at is a thought in my mind. I don't know what's in Carl's mind unless he happens to tell me. So if I think Carl thinks this, I'm really looking at a thought in my mind and not realizing it, you know. So we can't judge form because we can't see what's going on in the mind. And it's all about mind. Everything is about mind. It's not about whether you have a job or don't have a job, have a boyfriend or don't have a boyfriend, teach on Pal Talk or don't teach on Pal Talk. It's not about anything in form. It's always about mind. Always. And, you know, the same thing has happened in my relationship with Jasmine, although I would say that one I'm still working on. You know, for some reason the child relationship is a little more difficult for me than the romantic relationship was, but it is so much more healed than it was. And for me, Jasmine used to be a direct reflection of my own unworthiness. And what I mean by that is I felt that I was really unworthy. And what I wanted was for her to be better than me. And lots of parents are like this. So I had her in all of these lessons, and I was pushing her really hard. I was like a drill sergeant because I wanted so hard, I wanted so much for her to be worthy. But that was just a reflection of my own unworthiness. And I didn't see that. I didn't see that at first until the Holy Spirit showed me. So once I saw that, the way that our relationship started to change is I started backing off, and I had to start looking at Jasmine not as a reflection of me and not even as my daughter, but as a free child of God. Now, a younger free child of God, she still needs me to feed her and, you know, to make sure she gets to school on time and, you know, all that kind of stuff, drive her around because she can't drive a car yet. But she is a free son of God, and I need to respect her as an equal.
Daughter!
There she is again, correcting me. She's a free daughter of God. She says, "I'm not a man." How about free child of God? Will that be okay?
Better.
Okay. And I have to respect her as my equal. I can't look down to her as a child, or down to her as my daughter, or even down to her as a reflection of me. So as I respect her as an equal and I let her make her choices, even though I may provide guidance about what good choices are, I still have to recognize that she's the free son of God, and in the end, she's the one that makes the choices, and I just have to watch my own mind around those choices. And I just got frowned out because I think I said son of God again.
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 But that's okay.
But that's okay, she says. So that's how our relationship is healing, is by recognizing that she's the free child of God. I did it right. You're welcome. And it's making a huge difference in our relationship. Okay, Carl, so are we done then? Yeah, we're recording.
Oh, by the way, where's the ruler?
I don't know. Hold on, I hope I'm almost done.
Yeah, you really covered all the bases, and that's why I said thank you for a very honest and a very personal answer. Because I felt like I was asking such an interpersonal question, and I really wasn't asking about the mechanics of the relationship or relationships, because you have one with your daughter, very beautiful. We've heard her a number of times speak when you're talking to us. So I do appreciate your openness and your honesty to go beyond form in answering the question and talk about what's in your mind and what's in your heart. Anyway, I do appreciate it because you did answer my question, and thank you.
Thank you, Carl. And just a comment regarding the channeling. I haven't channeled the Holy Spirit since I think mid-February, and I honestly don't know if I will be doing that again. My feeling is that my time of questioning the Holy Spirit is over, and that it's now a time for practice and being. So we'll see if any more of that happens. It's always the Holy Spirit that let me know when it was time to sit down and listen to the Holy Spirit. I was called to grab my notebook. I was always told to grab my notebook. I have not heard grab my notebook in a long time now. So we'll see if that phase...
Grab your notebook.
We'll see if that phase is over. But it was never my decision to grab my notebook. I may have a question in the mind that I wanted to ask, but Holy Spirit kind of gave me permission to grab my notebook. So I don't know. The channeling may be over. I had been told by Holy Spirit about a year ago that the time would come I would have to let go of that if I was to continue to move forward. So, and I stated that I was very willing to do that, and so we'll see. All right, I think I'm going to go because my little child of God is home, and I'm over time. So, Dove, I'm turning the mic over to you. Bye.